I want to welcome everyone to a very special prophetic teaching for the next several weeks on the Manifest Telecast. I'm Perry Stone, your host and teacher of the program. And I want you to stay with me and really follow with me the next several weeks. Do not miss a program, because we're going to delve into some subject matter that is very seldom taught. You know, with social media the way it is now, there are literally tens of thousands of teachings on the internet and through different types of resources. But we're going to delve into some areas that seldom get taught. So we're going to begin today with a discussion of where is Satan's earthly headquarters located? Now, you're going to say he doesn't have an earthly headquarters. Well, I'm going to show you that he does, and we're going to use the scriptures to do that. First of all, Jesus made this statement in Matthew 12 and verse 26. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? Now, there was what I have identified for many years as a clash between two kingdoms. First, there is the kingdom of God, and the second, there is the kingdom of Satan. So it's two kingdoms that oppose each other. Now, the kingdom of God is working on the earth right now through the body of Christ or through the church. That's why the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. It can attack it. It can attempt to defeat it, but it can never destroy it, because the church is a kingdom within the kingdom of the kingdoms of the world that are on the earth. So the kingdom of God consists of God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Holy Spirit, the holy angels. They are a fourfold source in this kingdom of operating in the heavens and also operating in the earth. Now, the kingdom of Satan, if we look at that, is located in the second heaven. God's kingdom is located in the third heaven. And when I say God's kingdom, I'm talking here specifically about the kingdom of God that operates out of heaven. 2 Corinthians 12 identifies that location as being the third heaven, where the throne of God is. But we have three levels of heaven in 2 Corinthians 12. You have the clouds, and you have the atmospheric heaven, which is about 60 miles from the ground up to the sky, 60 miles. That's the first heaven. That's man's dominion. The second heaven is where the principalities and powers, or the kingdom of Satan, is operating. And that's found in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And so that's the second heaven. Now, the third heaven is operated by God. So you have man, Satan, and you have God. Now, notice this, that man has to worship, man has to pray, man has to seek God. And those things that comes out of the mouth of all believers, whether it be worship or prayer, must ascend into heaven, where in the third heaven, God receives the prayers and stores them in golden vials. God receives your worship, and actually the voices that John describes in the book of Revelation coming out of the throne of God are the voices of worship of the praises of God's people that God stores in the throne itself. But notice this, man's dominion is here, Satan's dominion is here, God's dominion is there. There is a kingdom that must be penetrated with prayers, not going up. Worship and prayer going up, if your heart is right, is never hindered. But coming back, when it's answered, especially with angels, Daniel chapter 10 teaches that the prince of the kingdom of Persia stopped Daniel's prayer from being answered, from Daniel receiving the answer. The answer was sent the first day, but this prince spirit stopped it for 21 days. So the kingdom of Satan is operating somewhere in the atmosphere. Now, let me say this real quickly. When it comes to the dwellings of God, you have the Holy Spirit dwells inside the body of every believer. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. So individually, the Holy Spirit abides in each individual believer. But then there's what's called the body of Christ, which is the church. And Christ dwells in the church and is the head of the church. And then we discover that in the throne room of God, where all the spiritual activity is taking place with the prayers, with the worship, with the forgiveness of sins, God is operating in the heavenly realm itself. Christ is our high priest in heaven. But there again, God has an operational kingdom on the earth. Now, Satan also has an operational kingdom. And there's four things about Satan that are very important. He has a stronghold, but you have to understand this. Satan is an angel, a single fallen angel. There are many adversaries, and in Hebrew that can translate as Satans, but there's only one fallen angel that is called Satan, and he is the highest ranking of all the fallen angels. Number two, Satan has a kingdom. Now, I mentioned that a moment ago, but it tells you in Ephesians 6 and 12, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in heavenly places. Number three, Satan is not omnipresent. What do I mean by omnipresent? He is not everywhere at one time. He can only be in one location, but his spiritual powers are scattered throughout the earth and throughout the atmosphere. And the fourth thing is he has an operational headquarters. Now, that's what we're about to discuss, the operational headquarters of the fallen angel Satan. Now, let's go back to the very beginning of time. The cradle of civilization, as it's called, meaning where civilization began, is in the Middle East. The center of the cradle of civilization is the nation of Israel. However, the Garden of Eden, and I do believe there's an ancient link of the city of Jerusalem with the ancient Garden of Eden. We don't have time to get into that. But Satan's first area of operation was in the Garden of Eden, where he came as a serpent, all right? So the cradle of civilization began in the Garden of Eden with a couple by the name of Adam and Eve. In the Garden of Eden was placed eastward. So there was a garden God placed eastward in Eden. Eden was a huge location, but the garden itself was eastward in Eden. That's in Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. In Eden, there was one large river that parted into four different heads. And those four heads are alluded to in Genesis chapter 2, 11 through 14. Now, these are headwater rivers. The Pishon, of which is the area of Havilah where there is gold, that's Saudi Arabia. That river's been dried up, but it was found by satellite. The area where it was, I should say, was found by satellite years ago. The Gihon is the second river, and it flows out of Ethiopia. Josephus says the Gihon was the Nile River. You have the Hiddekel or the Tigris River. It's the same river with two different names. It flows east of the country of Syria, or in the Bible it says east of Assyria. The fourth river of Eden was the Euphrates River, and that Euphrates River exists to this day. So the boundaries of Eden was the Euphrates River all the way over to the Nile River, because the Gihon, according to Josephus, was the Nile. Now, this entire area, if you start where those headwaters begin, is about a 1,500-mile square area, and Jerusalem is the center of it. Keep that in mind. All right, now when we look at this, we understand something, and I want to go to the idea of the Garden of Eden and explain this to you, that the Garden of Eden was the first location where Satan appears as a serpent. Now, when you go from the Garden of Eden, you go to the next area where we discover that Satan appears, and the next area would be the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11 in the plains of Shinar, because Babel means the gate of the gods. Keep that in mind for later. We find a third stronghold of Satan is again over ancient Babylon, where in Daniel 10, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood the prayers of Daniel for 21 days. We then discover that Satan's next stronghold is the area of Pergamos, which is in Turkey. Because the Lord said in Revelation that according to the church at Pergamos, I know where you are, even where Satan's throne is or where Satan's seat is. The next stronghold that we discover, and this is before and after the flood, is the area before the flood called Mesopotamia, but the area that was known as Babylon. Now, Babylon, we start seeing the story of it develop among the prophets predicting the Babylonian invasion in Israel. But we also know that Babylon is the ancient territory of Lebanon, Syria, Iran, and also later Persia would become involved as they would rule from Babylon. So the old ancient territory found in the Old Testament called Babylon was ruled by three of the four prophetic empires alluded to in the book of Daniel. The four empires that Daniel saw was Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, and then a fourth empire that he didn't name because it didn't exist in his day, that it would be later called the Roman Empire. So once again, you have Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, and Rome. Those are the four empires that Daniel deals with in his prophetic writings in the book of Daniel. Now, what is important here to understand about these territories that we're talking about is this, that when we go back to who Satan was in the beginning of time, Satan was an angelic being, And I'm going to give you my personal teaching. We're going to sidetrack here on one of my rabbit trails. But I want to share with you that when you look at how that Satan took one-third of the angels, and there are two-thirds remaining, if we divide the original angelic host prior to the creation of Adam, when God created the heavens and the earth, and the book of Job said that the sons of God sang together and the morning stars shouted for joy. We have three leading angels. Let's go to the old name. Lucifer, who was called son of the morning, that name means a morning star. Michael, who is the archangel of the nation of Israel in Daniel 12 and verse 1. Gabriel, who appears in the book of Daniel on two occasions, named by name, the angel Gabriel, the man Gabriel, which was the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel also appears in Luke. He appears to Zacharias at the temple. He appears to Mary. So Gabriel is the third. So you have Lucifer in the beginning, Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel. Lucifer was the worship leader. You can read in the book of Ezekiel and figure that out. He led the host of heaven in worship to God. And again, this is a whole nother teaching we don't want to get into because we'd have to go off the subject. Michael has angels of his own. How do I know that? In the 12th chapter of Revelation, when Michael the archangel one day battles Satan in the middle of the tribulation, it says that Michael and his angels, that's an exact quote, battled a war in heaven with Satan and his angels. And then it tells you that the dragon, who is the imagery of Satan, drew one-third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. Now, that's not the stars that are in the sky, those little twinkling lights. That's not meteorites. In the Old Testament, the word stars is a metaphor for angels of the Lord. And again, this is a whole nother angelic teaching we don't have time to get into because I want to stay on the subject. So here's the point, that there were three type of angels and each had a third. There was the warring angels under Michael. There was the revelatory angels under Gabriel, and these are the ministering spirits. And then there was the worshiping angels under Lucifer. Lucifer fell from heaven. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. There was a rebellion between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. In the process of that rebellion, hell, according to Matthew, was created for the devil and his angels. Actual hell is underneath the earth. The Bible says the fallen angels that kept not their first estate, God has bound in hell, 2 Peter 2:4. That word hell is Tartarus, which in the Greek was the lowest hell where the worst beings were kept, which is the core of the earth or the center of the earth. Now, I know this is all, when you talk to people who are scientists, this kind of freaks them out because they can't conceive this. Something happening and eternal souls or fallen angels existing under the earth, but that's where they are according to Scripture. Now, stay with me because this is very important. So when Satan fell from heaven, and somewhere between Genesis 1 and 2, hell was created because the Bible says the earth is without form and void, darkness upon the face of the deep, Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The waters are cooling the earth back down. Then God puts Adam in the Garden of Eden, eastward in Eden, and I just told you earlier the boundaries of the rivers. Now, there was no life or civilization outside of the Garden of Eden, and all life originated from Adam and Eve, who had sons, and they had sons, and they had sons. And by the time the flood came, there were literally tens of millions of people on the planet in the time of Noah's flood that had repopulated the earth. You know, men lived to be 700, 800, 900 years of age. That's not an embellishment. That's not a myth. That is absolutely true. And in the process of time, you could procreate more children and more children and the earth. And one of the reasons I think God allowed men to live long is to procreate on the earth. Now, having said that, pay attention to what I'm about to tell you now. Because the cradle of civilization was in Eden, because Satan fell before Adam was created in the garden, he used a serpent to test Adam and Eve. We all know that from the Genesis account. So here's the part that gets to be real important that I need to tell you about. Because Eden was the cradle of civilization, because if you go back to these early places, Babel or Babylon was in Iraq, Babylonia, the Babylonian Empire, with its headquarters in Babylon, was in Iraq. We discover that Pergamos in the book of Revelation is in Turkey. So I call it the satanic triangle. Now, I haven't preached on this much, but many years ago, I preached on this. I couldn't even tell you where the message was or where it was preached, but I remember it. The satanic triangle is the edge of Turkey, and it comes down into the boundaries of the rivers of Eden and goes all the way into the areas of Iraq and ancient Babylon and the early civilizations of Egypt, which they had many gods and they had idolatry. So if you take this triangle in the Middle East, that triangle is the headquarters of Satan in the atmosphere. Now, the reason I say that is look at your biblical history going back to Genesis 11. Babel means confusion, according to most scholars, if you take the name and interpret it. But if you take it in the Semitic languages, Babel can mean the gate of the God. The gate of what God? What God is it talking about? When Satan fell from heaven and came to the earth in the atmosphere, he came to the area of early civilization, and he has not left his headquarters and moved to another area. That is still his stronghold. Why do you think? Let's go through history. Look at the Babylonian invasion of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. Look at the Roman invasion and the destruction of the temple. Look at, for thousands of years, how Satan has hated the Hebrew people, attempted to destroy them. Look at the Holocaust that happened in Germany, in Europe. It wasn't in the Middle East, but it affected that whole part of the world. Look at Satan attempting to kill Jews. Look at him attempting to destroy the nation of Israel. Look at him. Look at the battle over Jerusalem. Is this all a coincidence? Is this just something that has happened? And the answer is absolutely no. So my point is, when you take any other part of the world, you can take Canada, you can take the United States, you can take Latin America. This is the Western Hemisphere. Now, there's drug dealers, there's trafficking, there's alcohol addictions, there's all kinds of problems, but we have never had the level of trouble the way they have seen in the Middle East. Why? Because it is an ancient empire. It has a 6,000-year history connected to it. America only been here for a couple hundred years. So that may be one reason. But we go to Europe and we discover that parts of Europe in the ancient time were formulated and formed part of the Babylonian, not the Babylonian, but the Grecian Empire and the Roman Empire. That consisted of Europe and the Middle East. But if we go back to the original question, where is the headquarters of Satan? I know where you are, even where the seat of Satan is. The Lord addresses the church at Pergamos. And then we discover Babel, the gate of the God, which is ancient Babylon in Iraq. And then we discover the prince of Persia left the country of Persia, which today is Iran, in Daniel's day, and came over to Babylon, which is in Iraq today. It's not there today. I don't mean that, but I'm giving you the modern location so you'll know where we're talking about, and hindered Daniel's prayer for 21 days. So when we look at all of what we call the cradle of civilization, we look at Babel, we look at Babylon, and we look at the end time, where the Bible tells us that if there is a mystery Babylon coming in the time of the end and coming in the last days, then we begin to understand that the Middle East, what we now call the Middle East, and the area where Adam and his descendants and the first 10 generations from Adam to Noah, where they lived and where the earth was populated before the flood came, and the destruction came, the global flood, that is the headquarters and that is the territory of Satan himself. And this is why you see so much conflict in the tribulation. You have Satan attempting to annihilate Israel and the Jewish people, especially when the Antichrist and his ten kings come to power. Where does the Antichrist want to rule? Revelation chapter 11, 12, and 13, the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, according to Zechariah, becomes a cup of trembling in the last days. Now, on the next program, I'm going to talk about the battle of these two gates. There's two cities. One is under the control of God and the eye of God, and the other region has the influence of demonic power. Why is it? Now, let's think about this for a moment. Why is it that most terrorists who take the lives of innocent people come out of where? Not America, not Canada, not Latin America, not even most of Europe, the Middle East. Why are they all coming out of the Middle Eastern area, or they are indoctrinated with Middle Eastern type of indoctrination? Because that is the stronghold of Ephesians 6 and 12. Here's Satan's kingdom. Satan's the head. principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in heavenly places. Now, they operate throughout the earth. So I want to make that clear. But the stronghold is that part of the world. And that's why the Battle of Armageddon will bring nations across the Euphrates River to the Valley of Megiddo in the mother of all battles at the end of days. And Satan, when he is bound and the angel comes down to bind him, it is right at the conclusion of the Battle of Armageddon, which happens in Israel. Satan will be personally the fallen angel in the nation of Israel, inspiring the Antichrist in Jerusalem, who is the son of perdition, who will be possessed by Satan himself. And Satan gives him, the Bible tells you this, that Satan, who is a picture of the dragon, which in Greek means serpent, gives the Antichrist his power, his throne, his authority. And so that is the part of the world, the Middle East, where the headquarters of Satan in the atmosphere is. And that's why there's so much murder, war, and killing, because the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Whew, wow. Now, I hope you understand everything I've said, because we're going to be doing a very special series. And next week, Battle at the Gates, God's City versus Satan's New Babylon. Here's the outline. I'm going to preach it next week. So you do not want to miss any of these series. Now, listen carefully. Some time back, I taped hours, several hours, just dealing with the book of Daniel. A lot of preachers deal with Revelation all the time. They don't cover Daniel. If you love prophecy, I did this for people like you. If you want to learn prophecy and you're just learning it, you need to hear this. Watch this, and I'll be back in a moment.
Does prophetic symbolism of beasts and horns confuse you? Do you question what is coming and how it impacts you? Perry's prophetic offer is a detailed teaching from the apocalyptic book of Daniel, Unsealing the Daniel Cipher, a 2-DVD, 4-hour prophetic series using maps, charts, graphics, and props, with numerous scriptures to illustrate this urgent right now teaching. Many of your complicated questions will be answered after viewing this series. Perry unlocks the concealed cipher in the book of Daniel, linking it with the book of Revelation. Perry explains Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar's visions and dreams, which revealed the future. He will detail the Antichrist symbolism, his headquarters, and formation of a final kingdom. Perry also explains which nations will eventually fall and how frightened citizens will flee their country. He will list and expound upon numerous individual plots and plans of the future beast system. Learn the nations that will suffer the most when Daniel's visions are unsealed on the earth. Discover the identity of the 10 horns and the nations that unite as a dangerous force at the time of the end. Receive new understanding as Perry explains the meaning of specific Aramaic and Hebrew words. See how the West and East will be divided and how Islam and Christianity come into play. Understand how the Antichrist will arise from one of four nations as described in Daniel's vision. Perry explains the dream of the tree stump, which most ministers seldom teach. Discover these insights and so much more. This teaching is a spiritual investment into life-changing knowledge. The offer 2DV101 is available for a donation of $30 or more, which helps keep Manifest coming to you each week. Order now by calling 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. Or go online to perrystone.org. You can also order the 2-DVD set by writing and sending a check to Perry Stone Ministries, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. This entire teaching is also available as video on demand by visiting our website. We look forward to hearing from you today.
You know, folks, Daniel was a prophet for our times, and many times people don't explore the book of Daniel except if they're dealing with maybe the Great Tribulation. They don't understand that there's a foundation that's built in the book of Daniel that is the foundation found in the book of Revelation. When you put them together, boy, do you ever get a great picture. This was preached with illustrations. In other words, there's a lot of props. You see the animals. You see so many things. It's not just what we call the talking head. So 4 hours of teaching on 2 DVDs. If you love learning, if you love learning things that are related to now, may I encourage you for a limited time on the Manifest Telecast to get this particular product. Another thing that we want to share with you is there's churches that we go to every year. We have a lot of new places many new places on the schedule, but there are some places that we love the people, they love us, we have so many partners in those areas that we love going back and ministering in person. Now, one of those places is Evangel World Prayer Center with my very dear friend Bob Rogers. I started preaching at Bob's church when his kids were just tiny, and now they're grown up with, you know, their own children. But Bob Rogers Evangel World Prayer Center in Louisville, Kentucky, July 18th, that'll be a Thursday night, two services on Friday, Saturday, and two at least on Sunday, 18th to the 21st, so please join me there. Now, this is a brand new location, Charleston, Arkansas, Life Church on August the 4th. It's one service only. So that's a brand new place that we've never been. Now we're going to go back to a place we love coming to, August the 16th through the 18th, Family Faith Church in Willis, Texas, the Willis campus, with my very dear friend, whom I love so dearly, Jeff Hackelman, his wonderful family. That'll be on Friday night, the 16th of August, and two services on Saturday. And then we're going to transfer over up the road there. I don't know if it's up or down on the map. I haven't looked. To me, it's like we're going up the road on August the 18th, which is Sunday, to Family Faith Church in Huntsville at the Huntsville campus. Now, let me stop for a moment and just tell you also that we're going to be August the 23rd to 25th at Christ Temple Church there in Huntington, West Virginia. Now, there are some other places, and I just noticed on my itinerary that they're not listed on my itinerary, but there's some other places that we're going to be coming to that are going to be brand new. Here's the best thing for you to always remember. A couple things I want to tell you right quick. Number one is Peristone Ministries Facebook page. I update about every day or every other day. Number two, the Peristone YouTube channel. We have YouTube videos at least two, sometimes three times a week, brand new, coming out every week. Then we want you to understand that when you go to peristone.org, that's our YouTube, website, our ministry website. If you will hit itinerary, you can check every, you know, so many days, every week or so, if we've added a new place on the itinerary. Sometimes I'll get a call and 2 weeks later I'll be at a location and people say, oh my goodness, we live there, Perry. We didn't know you were there. Now, the other thing you need to understand is that when you come to these local congregations, we have great moves of the Spirit in not only in the ministry, but these are churches with worship and praise, and also churches where we minister in the altar services with altar teams. So this is an experience. It's not just coming to hear a message or hear a word. It is an experience. And so please go to peristone.org, check out the itinerary, see if we're going to be in your area. And don't forget the main event in October, the Awaken America event. We've never had one before like this, and you're going to want to come to Cleveland, Tennessee for that. That announcement will come later. See you next week. God bless you.